Amen. This is something else I thought during worship. I believe this is good for everybody to hear. Is that, you know, I've worked for companies where we tell everybody, like, you're my most important client, right? You're my most important customer. Has anybody ever heard that before? Has anybody ever believed it before? No? Well, when I used to share that at Q&S, I really believed that. Like, I believed as I was telling them that you're my most important customer, our most important clients, because I tried to treat them all the same. I tried to treat them all with great importance. But we say stuff like that in this life, and most times people don't believe it because, well, how could I be your favorite if that person's also your favorite? And this is what I believe. When we sing, when we're lifting up worship to God and we're singing to God, this is what came to mind. And most of you that have heard me will probably think that's not true. I thought, I have the best voice in this place. Why are you laughing? It wasn't supposed to be funny. But I was thinking, I have the best voice in this place. Now, what I wasn't thinking is I'm the one that should be singing into the microphone. I was thinking, I have the best voice in this place. And the reason I think that is because I think that's what God thinks. Not just of me, but of every person in here. I believe that God truly is like, you know what? That's the best singing voice in this place. And then to the very next person, to Christy, that's the best in this place. Marissa, that's the best. Dave, it's the best. Because when we're singing to the Lord, it's for him. It's for his pleasure. It's because he desires it, not for each and every one of us. So anybody that has a complex about their voice, I do not like mine. I don't like listening to I don't ever listen to the recordings that we do because I don't like to listen to myself. But you know what? God does. He's the one that gave me this voice. So as we're singing, I mean, we got to remember that, hey, I've got the best voice in this place, not in a boastful way, but like, this is what God created me for. If we don't like worship now, pray that God puts that in you because it's all we're going to do. All we're going to do in heaven, worship. So anyway, we're continuing in that even with this service and in the sermon. But today I'm going to continue the series I started a few weeks ago on a renewed mind. And today I'm talking about serving. And this is not a sermon to try to guilt everybody into serving in the church. Serving in the church is part of serving, but it's not even the main part of serving. But serving is typically not the most desired position. And the reason I say that is because when you serve, at some point you go unnoticed. At some point you're taken for granted. At some point you may even feel unappreciated. And this is serving in any area of your life, anything that you can think of. But serving is an area that people can get discouraged, and sometimes even people who love to serve. I'm one who loves to serve. I love to help people. And I know people that's their heart, is like, I'm a servant. I'll do anything that you need done. But even those people can get discouraged because things like this happen. You know, we have a potluck and you're one who serves, and by the time you get done, there's like, you're lucky if there's any food, but for sure your favorite dishes are all gone, right? If anybody's ever served in something like that, you realize that. By the time you get out there, it's like, man, I was really looking forward to that. And you're like scraping the like crusted stuff off the side of the crock pot, hoping you can just get a little taste of it. And, you know, sometimes we clean up the same mess over and over. Maybe you clean the bathrooms or you clean in here, and it's like, these guys just can't quit peeing all over the urinal. Week after week, I got to keep putting up the same thing. I pick up the same used tissues from the same spot, the same pew every single week. Like, we can do these things and it can be really discouraging. Like, what am I even doing this for? It feels like I'm wasting my time. Sometimes we're serving at home and it's like you're picking up the same things week after week. I picked up that same pair of shoes right there yesterday and the day before and the day before, and they're not my shoes. Right? It can get discouraging. You're like, what's the point? What's the point of all this? And sometimes we're washing dishes and you're chipping away at the concrete oatmeal again. Has anybody ever had to do that? Chip away at oatmeal concrete. It's not cool. You're thinking, why am I even doing this? I'm trying to serve my family. I'm trying to work and make things nice around here, but I feel like I'm wasting my time. And we can get discouraged with serving no matter what way it is, even if it's at work or serving in the community. But whatever it is, we can allow serving to wear us down. We can allow it to take this toll on us. But here's the key, is that serving is a choice. Serving's a choice that we make. And so we get to choose. And I'm not, hold on, before I get into this, I'm not telling you that you can just choose not to do anything around your house. Somebody's got to do it. What I'm saying is serving is a choice that each and every day we get to choose who we'll serve. We get to choose what we will serve. We get to choose when we will serve, how we will serve, all these things. But just like I shared about worship a few weeks ago, how worship is more than a song, also serving is more than an action. Serving is more than an action. It's more than just something that we do. It's not even really about what we do. That's what most of us would think when it comes to serving. It's about what I do. It's not really about what I do. That would be what the world would say. The world's definition of serving is what we do. But it's not just performing certain actions. But the world would say that serving is performing actions most of the time to be seen, right? To be recognized, to get something for this, like give credit where credit's due, right? This is the kind of serving that most in the world take hold of. And some even have this, I serve because I have to mentality, which is not good. It's not a good thing, like kind of like they're being used against their will. How many of you have ever been in that place? I've felt that way before. Feel like you're serving almost against your will out of necessity that I have to. And I've had this, you guys probably have too, when you go to a restaurant and you have someone who's serving your table, and it's like, it's almost like someone's holding them there by gunpoint. Like they're making them serve your table. And you walk into the restaurant, and let's say it's a place that you seat yourself. You find a place to sit, and you're like, does anybody even know that we're here? Like, is anybody going to bring us a drink? Or is anybody going to take my order? Is anybody going to do any of this? You got to, like, wave them down, get them to come bring your drink, and then, you know, like, you drink all your drink, and they haven't come back to take your order. Just terrible service. Just anything that you want them to do, it's like pulling teeth. Like, do you even want, like, why are you here? Like, I'm not going to give you a very good tip. You're not doing anything for me. Like, what are you doing? And I've been in this place where a server will be doing the very minimum of what is expected of them, if that. But they're usually trying to do the minimum, and they're doing this because they have this feeling of necessity. Like, I have to work. I have to be here. I have to do this to provide a living. And this is really the world's mentality about serving. People take this mentality when they're serving their families. People take this mentality when they're serving their employer. You realize that? That's what we're doing when we work. When you have a job, you're serving somebody. You're serving somebody, whether it's your specific boss or a company, you're serving someone, whether you're serving in a church. And this is why I don't try to ever guilt people into serving in the church. I pray that you all will find a place to serve, because we need people to do things. Okay, they don't just happen on their own, but we shouldn't do these things with this kind of worldly attitude of like, I'm just going to do the minimum. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to be mad about it. And I want to have this worldview of serving. I want to wipe it out, and I want to look at what Paul told us to do in Romans 12, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So today I want to not be conformed to the world's view of serving, but I want to be transformed and renew our mind on serving, looking at the way that it's laid out in the Word and how Paul has instructed us to. So we need this renewing in our view of serving today. So if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 24, if you have your Bibles with you, if not, it'll be up here. And I'm going to pray as I get ready to get into this. But Lord, we thank you for your Word. God, we pray that right now that you would speak to us by your Spirit, through your Word. Let your words change and impact our lives, not just my words or ideas that I've come up with, but God, you are in control. You are the one who changes lives. And we pray that today you would do that for each and every one of us, myself included today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first I'm going to look at three things today. And the first one's going to be, who do you serve? Who do you serve? Are you self-serving? Is everything about you? These are questions you can ask yourself. Do you serve money? doing everything in life just to earn more of it. Like money's your master. You serve it. You're enslaved by the lure of having more money so you can have more things. Do you serve people around you? Many times, again, against your will, out of necessity, like, I have to do this. Do you serve God? Like, who do you serve? This is the question to ask. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, this is probably a pretty familiar verse to a lot of people. It says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. So probably everybody's at least heard this verse before in some way, shape, or form. "But me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, some of you probably even have this in your living room. It's a very popular living room decoration. "Me and my house will serve the Lord." You may have it on display for people to see. This is a declaration. It's a good thing. "Me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Declare that over your household, over your lives. I urge you to claim that over your household. Absolutely. But a sign in our living room is not enough. I heard some laughs, but some people really believe that. Some people think that this sign in my living room that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," is what you need. And we're good to go. Well, I would say that you might be doing a tremendous damage to the church. Not this church, the church, what God created us to be, when you have that on your wall and that's not how you live your life. So you can go back and listen to last week's message about being an example, but it being on our living room is not enough. We have to make that choice. Who are we going to serve? And so most of you are probably thinking, well, really? That's really easy. That's an easy answer. God. Really? Do you? Really, do you serve God? It's a question that we all have to ask ourselves on a regular basis, because we have a choice to make. We either serve God or we serve Satan. And people don't like that statement because it sounds mean. Well, it's truth, okay? You serve God or you serve Satan. It's black and white. And nobody wants to serve Satan. But listen, if you're not serving the Lord, then you're already serving Satan. Okay? It's the way that it is. So we have to choose this day, is what Joshua says. Choose this day who you will serve. It's a daily choice. Do we make that choice every day? Absolutely, we make that choice every day. Now, whether you pop up in bed and you're like, "Who am I going to serve today? God, the devil, like, I don't really know." You may not do that. It may not be that obvious to you, but you do choose every single day who you will serve today. So we know that God's mercies are new every day. We know that every day we get a fresh start. We know that every day, and even throughout the day, we can repent, we can give stuff to the Lord, and we can start over. But we also get to make this choice every single day and all throughout our day. How many of you have been in a place where my day is ruined? Absolutely ruined. Okay, well, you made that choice. I'm serious. You made that choice that my day is ruined. You know what? Turn to the Lord. Give it to Him. Repent. Let Him fill you with His joy. And you know what? It's a battle. It's not just like, okay, simple enough, I'll do that. No, it's a battle. Every single day, every moment of every day, we choose who we serve, and you can't play for both teams. Right now is baseball free agent period, which most of the guys that are left are the guys that nobody really wants that much, but they'll all still make millions of dollars. But each free agent in baseball right now, they have a choice to make. They have a decision right now. They have talent. They know what they're supposed to do. They know how to do it. And they have this decision. Who do I want to play for? You know, every one of them. Sometimes it comes down to where they feel the most comfortable. You know, I've played for this team before. I'm comfortable there. Or I played there last year. I don't have to move. Sometimes it comes down to the team with the best benefits, with the best compensation. And, you know, this free agent can go back and forth, think it over. They can mull over it for weeks and months sometimes, but it comes to a point where they have to make a choice, right? They make a choice, and once they do, they're locked in. A commitment is made, and there's a contract that is holding them accountable to the choice that they made. They can't just, I'm going to play for the Cardinals today, and like tomorrow I'm going to go play for the Brewers. Like, they can't do that. They've made a commitment. There's a contract that holds them to that commitment. And we've got to do the same thing. You can't play for both teams. Make a commitment. Make a commitment to the Lord. And again, we are still going to battle. We battle the flesh each and every day, and we have to make that choice every day. Just like that ball player still has to make the choice to go play for the team, and some of them don't, and they get fined for it. Some of them don't show up to practice, and some of them don't show up to games, and they pay dearly for it. Well, the days that we give up and we choose to not choose, you realize that's also a choice. When you don't choose, you're choosing not to choose. Guess what? You can do that, but you're going to pay the consequences for it. There's going to be some kind of payment that's going to be due. And in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now here he's talking about finances, but this applies to every area in life. You can serve God, or you can serve anything else. It's a choice. You can't do both. And when we serve Jesus, everything else that we do in our life should be birthed out of that, out of our serving for the Lord. And do we claim that Jesus is Savior and Lord? Everybody wants to claim him as Savior. Not everybody wants to save him as Lord. But here's the thing, he can't be your Savior if you don't allow him to be your Lord. That's true. He cannot be your Savior. It doesn't matter how bad you want it. He cannot save you if you don't allow him to be Lord. This is what Lord means. Lord means he to whom a person belongs, the possessor, the owner, the master. If you don't allow him to take control, if you don't allow him to be the ruler, he can't do anything for you. You have to allow him. You have to allow him to be the Lord. He is the one who we are to serve. And in Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the verse that actually sparked this whole sermon, was that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I think sometimes we hear a verse like this, and this verse can make people believe that Jesus is a genie in a bottle. This verse right here, well, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So I'll let him know what I want. He wants to serve? Okay, I can let him do that. I can let him serve me. And we have to think about this for just a minute. We have this attitude like, that's right, he came to serve, not to be served. This doesn't let us off the hook, this verse right here. If anything, it's what puts us on the hook. He came to serve, to set that example for us. For us to be his disciples, for us to follow and carry out this example that he set. But we forget about the last part. We do this so often with verses. We hear how much we want to hear, and then it just, you know, you hear it and then it falls off. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So yes, he did come not to be served, but to serve. But he also came to give his life as a ransom. And when he paid that price on the cross, shedding his blood for you and me, he paid a ransom. A ransom to set us free from captivity. Captivity of being bound by sin, captivity of being bound by our circumstances and serving the enemy. And what did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. It is finished, meaning this transaction was complete. This ransom was paid. You're free. The transaction is complete. He paid it in full. And at this point, that serving that he came to carry out was complete. When he said it is finished, he was also saying the fact that I came to serve and not to be served is also finished. Because I did it. I served. And my service has been complete. I know people that are, go to the military and they sign up for 4 years. And they some of them stay longer, but some of them can't wait. And when that four-year mark is done, they're like, it is finished. Like, I am done. It's over with. Ain't going back. I ain't serving no more. Right? And that's what Jesus is like here. He's like, you know what? I came to serve, but it's finished. Like, it's done. I did my serving. I did all that was necessary. Every single thing that was necessary, he did it. And so when we come under his authority, when we allow him to be Lord, when he's our master, our ruler, then what happens? We become the servant. That's when it changes. It's true that he didn't come to be served, but he left to be served. He's sitting on the throne right now. Now we are to serve because if he's in charge, if he's the ruler, if he's the master, then we have become the servant. So choose this day who you will serve. This day, right now, today, who are you going to serve? Next, I want to look at why do we serve? And so consider questions like these for all areas of your life that you serve in. Why do we do it? Why do I serve? And you can fill in the blank. Why do I serve in the church? Why do I serve my family? Why do I serve my employer, my friends? Why do I serve my school? All these things that we serve where we submit to someone else. What's our motivation? What's our reasoning, our passion behind it? Or maybe there is none. But what keeps us serving or what prevents us from serving? This is what I want to look at. And most serve because of one of two reasons. They either love it. It's kind of who they are. They like to serve. Or it's a duty. It's something that they have to do. So let's see what the word says about why we should serve. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11 says this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's why we serve right there. Paul starts off by telling us we're to use our gifts to serve others. It's not for you. The gifts are not for you. That's a common mistake we made. The gifts are not for us. The gifts are so that we can serve others. And what gifts is he referring to? He's not referring to birthday and Christmas gifts. Okay? He's not referring to that. It doesn't mean that if you got new kitchenware for Christmas that you have to make me a meal. It doesn't mean that if you got new tools you have to come fix something for me. But if you want to, I'm open to either, especially the meal. But that's not the kind of gifts that Paul's talking about. Paul's talking specifically about spiritual giftings. Spiritual gifts. The same gifts that he talks about in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12. And this text here in Romans 12 immediately follows the text that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just a couple verses later is this. And I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it in diligence. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we've been given these gifts, but why do we serve? Why do we have to use these gifts to serve? Well, we find that back in 1 Peter. It says, first, we have to be good stewards of what God has given us. Listen, you live in America, which means that you're spoiled. Right? There should be more than two heads bobbing. There's probably a few more I didn't see. When we live in America, okay, we are spoiled. Americans think that what I've got is mine, right? I've earned it. I deserve it. It's my right. And even if I don't want to share it, then I shouldn't have to if I don't want to. Like, that's the American mentality because we have so much. It seems kind of backwards. It seems like the more you have, the more you should be willing to share. But I tell you what, you go to a third world country and they can give a kid a bowl of rice and he'll share it with the kid next to him. Over here, you give you like a, you know, Fridays, you get like a steak and potatoes and salad and all this stuff. And like you eat till you're full and maybe you take it to go box or you eat some of your wife's or whatever. We wouldn't be so willing to share with the person next to us. Be like, dude, buy your own. What are you talking about? You ain't getting none of mine. Okay, that's the kind of mentality that we have in America. It's a me first society. And we have this me first mindset in this day and age that we live in. But this is the day and age we're not supposed to be conformed to. It's the very same day and age that we're not supposed to conform to, but rather we're supposed to renew our minds. And we should serve not only because it's a gift from God. Every single day is a gift from God. Okay, every day is a gift from God, and the blessings that we have in life are a gift from God, and we should treat them as such. So serving isn't always easy because to serve simply means to work. That's why I said you serve your employer. If you have a job, you work. No, you serve. That's what it is. That's what work is. It's service. And work isn't always easy, but it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. Serving is necessary. That's why Peter said, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. This is why we serve, to bring glory to God. That's the whole purpose. It's why we work. It's why we serve, bringing glory to God. And so consider areas that we serve or that we work in our home, in our job, in our church, with our family, with our friends. Why do we serve? Why do we work for people and work for things? If the answer is any other reason than to bring glory to God, we will burn out, it will grow old, and it will get very hard to do. Absolutely, very hard to do. It's going to seem like very hard work. Now, consider these very same things in the mindset that you're going to use your gifts and your talents to serve God. I'm going to serve God. This is a game changer, okay? The way you view serving your home, if you view it as I'm serving my home versus I'm serving the Lord, it's totally different. If I vacuum over here, I do twice as good as I do at my house. Because I view serving here as serving for the Lord, and I view serving at home serving my family. I'm serious. I'll do twice as good of a job here. I walk around and pray in here and I pick up like little pieces of paper. I'd never do that at home. If anything, I might just go like push it to the side. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. We push it to the side, but here I would never do that. I'm looking at a couple pieces right there that are bothering me right now. I'm about ready to go pick them up. But it's different when you view something as you're serving God. It changes everything. It's a total game changer when we serve the Lord. And it's not just a one-time thought. We have to go there continuously for it to be effective. We have to make that choice. Who are we going to serve? I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And so I love preaching. I love this right here. It's probably my favorite time of the week, right here, what I'm doing right now. And I do this because I'm serving the Lord. Most of you might think, Well, he's serving us, the congregation. I don't feel like I am at all. I feel like I'm speaking the word of the Lord, so I'm serving the Lord. Now, I love this part. On the flip side, I really don't like sermon preparation. And some of you are probably shocked, like, what? You don't like to pray and read your Bible? No, I absolutely like to pray and read my Bible, but not when I'm preparing for a sermon, because that's work. It's hard. It takes me a lot of hours. And for that, I feel like I'm providing a service to the church. It's not that I don't love you guys and that I don't want to serve you, but I'm saying it's a difference in the way that I view it in my mind. When I'm doing it for someone else, it's like, I don't want to do this today. Like, I worked on that yesterday. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Okay? It's because of my mindset. It's because I view it as I'm serving the church instead of I'm serving the Lord. I've never liked English class. I didn't like Composition 1 at Lakeland. I hated those classes. It's not me, okay? I'm not one of those people that if I type something up, I always send it to my wife and say, fix it. Fix this before I send it to someone else and embarrass myself, okay? But the problem is not what I'm doing. It's why I'm doing it. It's the heart, the motivation behind what I'm doing. And my heart and motivation are the problem. And for some reason, like I said, if I view it as I'm serving the church, it's dreadful. I don't look forward to writing a sermon. But preaching is serving the Lord, okay? I need to get where that's all serving the Lord. I'm doing it all for him. And, you know, it takes preparation. So when I realize that all I'm doing for the Lord, it changes everything. It changes my perspective of everything. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Listen, if we're serving God, the very God who, one, created you, I feel like that's probably worthy enough reason, then not only did he create us, but if you've given your life to him, if you've allowed him to be Lord, he saved you. Okay, a little more motivation to serve him, I think, should still be more than enough. If that wasn't enough, he's coming back for you. Okay, if you don't want to serve a Lord that created you, saved your soul, and is coming back for you, I can't give you any more motivation than that. This is the kind of motivation that we need to have. This is what Paul or Peter was talking about when he said that we are to serve in the strength that he provides. It's the strength knowing that, man, he created me. He saved me. He's coming back for me. He loves me. He's with me every day. He told me he would never leave me. Like, that's the kind of God that I want to serve. Okay, I don't want to serve this kind of God that these other religions believe, this distant God who not only doesn't listen to me, but doesn't even care if I'm speaking. Okay, we have a God who's personable. We have a God who came here to this earth so that he could relate with us, so that he could conquer and overcome everything that we've done. So we have to look at it as though I'm serving the Lord, so we're no longer just getting through it. If we're doing service where I'm just getting through it, we're not serving the Lord. If you're serving the Lord, you're going to flourish in it. You're going to succeed. You're going to do even better. We have to serve as though we're serving the Lord. And then the last part, the last question is, how do you serve? Very easy. With your life. Yeah. With your life. You know, so many times we see people get saved, they pray a prayer, and you know, they think that that's it. And I don't teach that here. I don't teach that that's it, because it's not. It's, okay, now he's master. Now I'm servant. That means I got to serve him. That means I serve him with my life. I give my life to him. He gave his life for us, and then we give our lives for him. And we see even in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, when he's talking to the disciples, to the 12, he says, he sat down, he called the 12 and said this to them, if anyone desires to be first, then he shall be last and servant of all. Servant with their life, with everything that they do, serving everywhere that they go. And this worldview of service, especially serving God, says that you have to be in the spotlight, right? You have to be on the stage. You have to be, you know, preaching. You have to be in ministry. You have to be in full-time worship. You have to be paid to be in service. This is the world's view of service, of serving the Lord. And I'm sick and tired of those lies. Really, I'm tired of those lies. If you say those things, stop it. It's not about being paid by the church or being paid by a congregation or a group of people that says that you're a servant of the Lord. It's how we live our lives. It's what we do each and every day, whether it's at home or at work or at school or at the church. It's serving the Lord with everything that we have. We are all called to be servants. Every one of us. God blesses the servant. God's desire is that we do his work, that we be his hands and feet on this earth, and he wants us all to do something. All of us. He wants us to do something. We're all called to make disciples. We're all called to share the gospel. We're all called to represent Christ. To represent him. That's a pretty big area of servanthood right there. Represent the perfect Jesus Christ. It's a pretty big task. But again, consider the gifts that he placed in us in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Said that if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, to encourage, give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now some of you probably right there are like, some of you thought that's the gift that I have, and some of you thought that's the gift that I want. Okay? And that's fine. It's fine for you to desire those gifts because they're gifts by God. They're gifts of God. But what are you going to do with it? What's your motivation going to be with the gifts that you already have or the gifts that you desire? What do you want them for? What are you going to do with them? When people prophesy, it's simply declaring the word of the Lord. It's declaring the word of the Lord. We view prophecy as, you know, someone has to like interrupt worship. And they have to come up here and they have to have this like this word that like everybody's going to fall back in their seat. Prophecy is declaring the word of the Lord. There's prophets in this very room. I'll point out a few of them, but I'm not, if I leave you out, it doesn't mean that you're not. I know that Cheryl Jackman is a prophet. I know that that woman speaks the word of the Lord. If you don't believe it, come to a prayer meeting. I believe my wife's a prophet. I believe Jason is a prophet. These are people that declare the word of the Lord all the time. Every time I'm around these people, I'm hearing stuff. I'm hearing about Jesus. I'm hearing encouragement. I'm hearing this is what God has in store for me. This is what God has in store for you, for this person, for that person. They're declaring the word of the Lord. Some of you may have this gift of serving. Listen, don't diminish this gift of serving. Just serving is this. Ministering. You want to be a full-time minister? You want to be in full-time ministry? Serving means minister. If you want to be a full-time ministry, it means you're a full-time servant. It doesn't sound as desirable now, does it? It's a full-time servant. But a servant is just one that executes the commands of someone else. They execute the commands of someone else. And servants are so important. It's what we're talking about. But there's people, there's some of you that are servants to the core and nobody in this room even knows it. There's some of you that serve in ways that I don't even know. Some of you serve month after month after month on that cleaning list out there. And those of you that have never looked at that list, you don't realize that that person's cleaned the bathroom or the sanctuary or something for like 10 months in a row. You don't realize that there's people like Melissa and Gwen that come out here and they just like look at the list and like nobody signed up for these areas. I'm just going to clean. They don't do it for any kind of spotlight. They do it because God's given them the gift of serving. And he has many of you others. Any of these things, if I leave you out, it doesn't mean that I don't recognize you or even that others don't. But teaching, if you've been given the gift of teaching, instructing others, that's important. We need to teach. It's part of making disciples, is teaching. teaching what the commands that Jesus has given us. Bud Carson's a great teacher. He's a great teacher. TJ's a great teacher. I've been in men's group with TJ where that I lead, and I learn all kinds of stuff from TJ. He's a great teacher. There's encouraging. Don't ever, ever think little of encouraging. Encouraging is the one that exhorts, comforts, strengthens others. And many of you in this room are encouragers to me. But that's a big deal. People need that. If that's your gift, use it. If you ever feel like telling someone something nice about them, listen, don't like, well, I don't want to get them puffed up with pride. They might need to hear it. They might be having the crummiest day of their life, and you being an encourager, telling them something good may lift their spirits and spur them on to do something great. That crummy day, like my day's been ruined, maybe they're not making the choice today to serve the Lord, and you give them that word of encouragement and it switches everything around. Like, wait a minute, I can do this. I can do this today. We have that gift of giving. This isn't just finances. It's where we always want to go with it, but giving time, giving our knowledge, giving our skill sets to different things. That's giving. If you have the gift of giving, then do it, but do it cheerfully or generously. Do it generously, not just giving the minimum. Give generously, give above and beyond. Because if you don't give above and beyond, then you don't have the gift of giving. All right, we're all supposed to give. The gift of giving means that you have that desire to give more. And that's something that Christy and I have. It's one of my biggest struggles with being a pastor is like, I love to be able to give to people. And I'm not complaining about my salary or anything, but I'm just saying I've always had extra and I like to be able to give that. And we still do. We just sacrifice more because I have that gift of giving. I enjoy giving time, finances, the limited knowledge that God has given me. I like to give. If our gifts are leading, listen, leading is so much more than being in charge. If you have the gift of leading, if you think, I like to be in charge, you don't have the gift of leading. I'm just telling you. If you're thinking that right now, like, I like to be in charge, I like to rule over other people, you do not have the gift of leading at all. And I've worked with a guy who had this mentality that all he wanted for years and years and years was to be a manager. And he's the worst manager I've ever seen in my life once he got that opportunity. Because he thought he got to just, now I get to sit in my chair. And we were made managers at the same time. And he's like, I get to sit in my chair. I just get to tell people what to do. I don't even have to get up. I don't even have to leave this desk. I can order in food and have it brought to me, you know. Like, people have that kind of mindset. You're not a leader because a leader specifically does this: protects, guards, cares for, and gives attention to. That's what a leader does. That's what a leader does. And there's a lot of leaders in this place. Anybody who's a deacon or an elder, hopefully you have the gift of leading because you're in leadership. I pray that you do. If you don't, come talk to me later. We might need to pray for you or something. And, you know, it's probably to some degree, I believe you have that or you wouldn't be in leadership in the first place. So you probably do. If you have that gift of mercy, helping the afflicted, helping people that are going through troubles and trials. And, you know, that again is so important. I want to say I don't have the gift of mercy. It's not that I don't have any mercy in me. It's just not my gifting. Okay. I don't always know, like, when's the right time to do this and the right time to do that? And should we do this and should we do that? Me and my wife talk about that all the time. And we're like, call Sherry and ask her what she would do. I'm serious. All the time I'm like, maybe we should see what she would do. Because I don't really know if we should do anything or not or what we should do. But if you have that gift of mercy, it's just ingrained in you. You love to help people. You love to be there to be that support for people. So to get less technical, when you serve God, you serve him when you're serving your house, when you're cooking and cleaning and repairing things, when you're listening to the people in your family, when you're loving on the people in your family, when you're giving them attention, you're caring for them. That's serving God. Like, so often we can get discouraged and tired of, like, why isn't God using me for anything? Well, you should be serving him in your house. Like, every opportunity we get, we're supposed to serve him. One of the greatest ministry opportunities I have is in my home with my children. I love whenever we do a devotion, we look at some scriptures and, you know, sometimes there's good feedback and sometimes there's not. But you know what? It doesn't mean that I stop doing it. It's one of the greatest ministry opportunities that I have is teaching my children. When we serve God, we serve him in our employer. If we serve with joy, with dedication, excellence, thanksgiving, glad that we have a job, that's serving the Lord. When we're a Barnabas, does anybody know what Barnabas is? What he's known for? Encouraging. He's known as the son of encouragement. You can be a Barnabas. You can be an encourager in your life when you just help people through situations, remind them of the promises of God for their life. Remind them that God's good. He has a plan for their lives. You serve God when you serve the church, whether you're cleaning or teaching, or whether you're in nursery, worship, sound, media, driving vans, praying, giving, mentoring others, encouraging others. All these areas we're serving, not this building. You're not serving me. You're not serving this leadership. You should be looking at it as I'm serving God. Okay, because you might get mad at me and you may not want to come serve me. But that shouldn't be your attitude in the first place. I'm not here to serve me. I'm not here to serve you. I'm here to serve the Lord because he's the one that is worthy of it. And so how and why we serve is not near as important as the who we serve. It's not near as important. If we focus more on who we're serving, then we can serve in almost any area of our life with purpose and with joy. And even when we're complacent, when we're discouraged in our serving, we're just tired of it and worn down, we're trying to find fulfillment in what we're doing, in what we're serving, instead of who we're doing it for. I wholeheartedly believe that. When we feel discouraged and we feel like giving up, we're tired of serving in any area, it's because we're too focused on what we're serving, on what we're doing, instead of who we're serving. And people spend lifetimes trying to become something or somebody, right? I've done it. I spent a long time trying to really become somebody, to become something, and I'm sure many of you have in this room. People want to be known for something. People want to make an impact on this world. Matthew 20, verse 26 says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." You want to be great? Be a servant. That's the path. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. The path to greatness is servant. True greatness is measured in terms of service. And Martin Luther King said this. He said, "Everyone can be great because anybody can serve." You can be great. Start serving. Start serving. You can be great. And so it's time for us to stop being selfish with these gifts that God has given us, these things that he's put in us, and to start using them for their true purpose, serving him. Serving him. And again, serving's a choice. But to be a true servant, it takes a change in our lifestyle. It takes a change in the way that we view things, and it takes renewing of our mind that we're going to put God first, and then we're going to put others first before ourselves, modeling ourselves after the Lord. We have to be wise with our time. And Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16 tells us, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We shouldn't be squandering opportunities. You realize that? If we have opportunity, if God's blessed you with more time, don't waste it. I'm serious. If you're like, "Man, I don't even know what to do today," don't waste it. Don't dare waste it. You're going to squander an opportunity that God has given you to serve him. "Lord, what can I do today? Help me figure out a plan." And, you know, we need to make the best of our time, of our finances, of our talents. And we're to love God because he first loved us, and we should serve God because he first served us, being sacrificial. We should be selfless. being what Jesus showed us to be. It should be not about us, but about him. That's the key to the whole thing, is remembering who we serve. Jason, if you guys want to come up. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, it says this. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. This is the people that serve him. They will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. That's our God. We, when we serve him, are his treasured possession. Treasured possession. I say that's a pretty big deal. And so if we've grown weary of serving, if we feel like we've put in our time, maybe I've served for long enough and I've had enough, I'm taking a break. Listen, your time's not up. You have to keep serving. You have to keep serving because the Lord's not through with you yet. That's why you're still here, right? The Lord's not through with you yet, and it's why you're still here on this earth today. And maybe sometimes you feel like I've served so long that I'm tired of being taken for granted. I'm tired of going unnoticed. I'm tired of not being thanked. Listen, if men and women are not grateful for what you do, if they don't show that expression enough, this alone should be comfort and motivation to keep going, that God sees your serving. God sees it. Who cares? I don't care if you guys see things that I do. I care that he sees. He's the one that I'm going to be his treasured possession. No offense, I don't want to be your treasured possession. I mean, really, I want God to be your treasured possession. And I want you to be his, but God sees you serving. He sees your heart. So is it set on him or is it set on something else? In everything we do, we need to be doing it unto the Lord. All the areas that we serve, do that work for God, not for man, not even for self. That's hard to do. I do a lot of stuff for myself. We need to be doing more for the Lord. We got to use these gifts and these talents that he's given us because he gave them to us so that we would serve him and bring him glory. And so today, if you guys would stand with me, today I'm going to ask people to choose, just as Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house and for this church, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you want to take up that call to action, this is what an altar call is about. An altar call is the reason we have people step down in front is because it's not about you. It's not about your pride. It's not about your neighbor and, well, are they going to go? And what are they going to think of me if I go? It's because we're serving the Lord. It's we're declaring in front of other people that prayerfully they'll keep you accountable. Like, hey, you know, don't you remember that time you went to that altar call saying that you were going to serve the Lord? What's wrong with you? What are you doing? You know better than this. You want to be the Lord's treasured possession? And so what I'm going to open this up and ask that if you are going to take up the call today to serve the Lord. Remember, choose this day. Choose today who you're going to serve. You only got two choices. Because self is the same as Satan, okay? You're either serving the Lord or you're not. I'm trying to be nice. You're serving the Lord or you're not. And so today I'm going to ask you, come up front right now. If you're going to take up the call and today I'm going to serve the Lord, come forward. If not, You don't have to. I don't want to guilt anybody into it. If you don't feel like serving the Lord, you can stay in your seats. You can stay back there. But if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're taking up the call, come forward right now. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to put anybody on the spot. This is just simply an acknowledgement that you're going to put the Lord first in your life.